Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 87.
This week on the podcast, Obama tells uninformed consumers to just keep their crappy plan if it's so damn important to them.
And Chuck Schumer's desire to avoid a primary for Hillary reminds us that we could just primary him instead.
Kentucky voters conspire to slowly eliminate every Republican candidate from their upcoming Senate race.
Union bashing heads all the way to the Supreme Court.
And Toronto's mayoral shame reminds Americans that sometimes Canadians aren't as boring as previously thought.
Plus, a feel-good moment in San Francisco creates an internet deluge.
Stay tuned for all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the internet at www.braintrustlive.com. On Tumblr.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
On Instagram.
On Twitter.
On Twitter. On Vine.
Vine, even.
Uh-huh.
Still haven't conquered
yeah,
Vine.
It's a little suspect, it's our still... Vine presence, but...
This week I learned of Snapchat, and I'm just, like, lost now.
Yeah. Did you see Facebook tried to buy Snapchat for, like, $3 billion?
Yeah, and they were like, nope.
Week? I know. Crazy.
It's crazy.
But big news this week.
Important
the
news.
The biggest news of the week.
Yeah.
By far. Lila turned 30 this week.
I'm old!
Happy birthday!
Yay!
Yeah, yeah, very exciting.
I've been really stretching out the celebration.
Yeah, welcome to 30.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was promised by my mother that I would enjoy my 30s more than my 20s, because she seems to think that I'm kind of like already kind of a crotchety old person.
Sure.
Which I think we both are, so.
Yeah.
It might suit me.
Well, you and I often talk about how we're going to be good retired people.
We're going to be great retired people. Brent already eats prunes for
prunes.
For snacking.
I love soup.
Yeah.
I had soup for lunch today.
Well, soup I love.
Asparagus soup for lunch.
I can't be stopped from eating soup.
If there's... Like a creamed asparagus soup. Like, once you're having that, I mean...
You know. That's when you know.
Yep.
Yeah. So, that's what actually happened this week. And then there was some other stuff.
Some boring stuff. The most boring of the stuff.
We're still talking about it.
Obamacare.
It's like...
Still. And it all is because they can't get the freaking website working, which is so damn annoying.
Yeah, it's not even about the, like, the plan itself.
No. Because what happened... So, we talked last week about, like, how the Republicans were just sort of, like, you know, stark raving mad about the fact that all of these people were, like, getting planned cancellations.
Yeah.
And, sure, I mean, that's annoying, but what you would want to do would be, oh, well, my plan got canceled, let me go see what better plan I can get, because my plan's shitty already. But
exactly.
They can't do that because the damn website doesn't work.
Yeah. So, this is, like... fake issues compounded by fake issues.
Correct.
And this week, Obama ended up having to address the problem, which is the most infuriating part.
Ugh.
He bears some of the blame because he had initially told everyone that they could keep their plans. And obviously, the Republicans are sort of like nitpicking an excuse to be angry about Obamacare.
Yes.
So, like, they don't actually care whether or not you can keep your plan.
Well, obviously
they don't
not.
Want
they've,
you
been
to
trying,
have a plan.
They've been trying to kick everyone who's benefiting from it off of it ever since it got passed
like
years ago.
They're not trying to care if you have a plan or not.
No.
They are trying to make it seem like Obama is somehow, like, you know, sneakily trying to destroy your health care, though, through giving you health care. So, Obama had to address it this week, and he basically had to sort of come out with a policy that they were going to allow these insurance plans that had canceled coverage... They had canceled plans that didn't meet the minimum standards of coverage.
Right, they were junk plans.
It was all junk plans. It was all plans that didn't cover one of the areas that is required by law for an insurance to cover now. That includes, like, ER visits and prescription drug coverage and a bunch of stuff that, when you don't have it, becomes quite expensive when you need to use it.
Yeah, it's like Bill Maher said the other night. He was like, they're the plans that, like, cover you, like, getting opened up for surgery but don't cover you getting closed up.
Yeah, exactly.
that's what these plans are.
Right. Yeah, and that's the issue is that a lot of people can't get onto healthcare.gov to shop for what their other options are, so they're just furious that their plans are being canceled.
Right.
They're having to get on an annoying website that they can't navigate.
If they could figure this out, this would be a non-issue.
Yeah.
And so that's what's
I think that's what they assumed.
And that's
what happened.
Exactly. That's what's so maddening about the situation, like, is that this could all be fixed if this website was just working.
Yeah. So, in any case, Obama comes out. He says that they're going to let insurers offer these plans for another year.
Yes.
Insurance companies, by the way, are not into this.
They don't want to do
this
because they've
figured... they had already set their prices knowing that healthy and sick people would both be signing up for the new plans that they were offering through the exchanges. The prices are set with the understanding that healthy people will participate. Healthy people are going to keep their junk plans because they don't need fancy plans.
Because, it was sort of predicated on the fact that healthy people were going to buy plans that were sort of ultimately better than they needed.
You only need healthcare when you need it.
Well, right, exactly.
Up until you don't... When you don't need healthcare, you don't need it. And then when you need it, you need it.
Exactly. So now that they're going to be able to sort of, like, keep their crap plans for, like, no money and not you know, be covered for anything. It's sort of like, it really undermines the whole sort of situation.
Well, to the extent that the insurance commissioners in Washington and Arkansas said they wouldn't go along with that.
Yeah.
They were just sort of like, fuck it.
Screw it. Yeah.
And
I don't think California has done that yet, but I think our insurance commissioner person or whatever was sort of like, this would not be ideal.
Well,
like,
no one is happy about it. No. And the insurance plans themselves don't want to deal with it. And it's sort of, it ends up being more expensive for the federal government because the federal government ends up having to cover losses that insurance companies face in these initial sign-up phases when they know it's going to take longer for healthy people to be convinced to sign up than it is for sick people.
Yes.
Sick people, we've always said, are already looking for insurance.
Right.
So they're going to sign up on day one.
They're getting
I guarantee that everyone who signed up so far is
they have
sick
a
with something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But healthy people are going to be harder to convince because you don't realize you need health insurance till you're already in debt, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And so because of that, the federal government had offered to insurance companies that they would cover some of the losses in these initial 3 years of the Affordable Care Act going into effect. Now they're on the hook for a lot more money because basically the insurance companies that are making profits are paying into a pool that's going to pay off the companies that are experiencing losses. But now the money going into the pool is not going to be enough to pay for the money that needs to come out of the pool.
Right.
And the Justice Department makes up the difference. So that's one thing that that hasn't really been addressed widely about this plan, but is a problem.
Well, a lot of things aren't being addressed widely about these plans because people don't even, all that people can think about is just sort of like their fury over the fact that people are getting notices.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knows the details of this. I would assume that, like, most of the people don't even know that these are sort of, like, junk plans.
Except
the people who have them, they probably know.
They don't
seem
to know.
Well, I don't think they
know. You don't know until you know.
Right.
You don't know until you've gone to the ER that your plan doesn't cover it.
Right.
It's like, hey, you don't know until, even on a good plan, you don't know what the copay is going to be at the ER until you're in the ER and you're like, wait, this is $100, not $20?
Everybody who has had sort of, like, the insurance companies come to talk to them at the office, like ours do every year, sort of, like, you get a book that's, like,
a zillion pages
that tells you what it is that they cover and don't cover, and there's no way to know what that is. And so, yeah, people don't really know. But the thing that I do, like, this whole thing is a bad situation, but what I do like about what he said, his sort of fixes, is that now all the insurance companies have to send back out letters again, notices again.
Right.
And in these notices, they have to say what the plans that they currently have that were getting canceled did cover and did not cover, and what the new plans on the exchanges would cover and would not cover.
It's smart. It turns a big bungle into what I think could ultimately be a good PR move.
Right,
because
exactly.
It will require all these complaining people to receive notice that not only did their plan not cover
plan
this thing
blew.
That they needed, right, but that there are plans available
that are
will.
Probably cheaper and better.
Yeah.
So, so that's good. My sort of initial reaction to that was immediately, why were those not in the first notices?
Right. Why? Like, why could that?
That's what you do.
They're doing some of the worst PR in PR history.
I mean, that should have been a thing.
That should have been
already.
The first thing that happened.
Right.
And I don't even. It was even in the insurance company's interest.
It was in their best interest because they would have been paying for maybe not necessarily more, but they would have been getting a better plan.
They would have been but also if the insurance companies have already set their rates on the basis of the assumption that healthy and sick people will be in the same risk pool all of a sudden.
Right.
Then it's in their interest to let the healthy people who are on crap plans know that they're getting this better plan for roughly the same amount of money so that they sign up for it so that
100%.
Sick people can be offset. The cost of sick people can be offset.
That's what you
want. I mean, that's what you want.
That's how insurance works.
That's how insurance works.
Right.
The House then took his strategy one step further.
Yeah.
In a stupid direction.
In a non-starting sort of way. Like,
right.
I don't know why they even
bother.
What
they like to do is take, like, he basically was like, okay, fine, we'll let them keep their plans. And that should have quieted the GOP because that was what they wanted.
No.
But they didn't want just that.
No.
They wanted these plans to be able to continue to sign up people for the next year as well. So the bill that they passed, which was called the Keep Your Health Plan Act, was not just aimed at letting people keep their health plans, but it was aimed at letting new customers sign up for junk plans.
Right, which they're doing as a sort of like, this should
it's
be
just a big
this,
FU.
Yeah, this should be counted as one of their votes to defund Obamacare.
Yes,
because
exactly.
It's not really, but it ultimately sort
it's
of is.
Indirectly
because once
does.
You're letting people not buy the plans that are on the exchange and keep buying these crap plans, that really sort of like undermines
the whole
thing.
System.
Like basically what Obama was going to let people do was sort of like keep the people who have sort of like been grandfathered in on these plans keep them for another year while they sort of like try and figure everything out. But this is just, like, going to let the insurance companies, like, continue to sell their crap plans to people who just want them.
This is the same thing as their plan to, like, defund it for a year.
It is. It's
just
the same
it's a year.
It's veiled as something else. And
that's
what
they're going to wait and try to change it during, you know, they're going to try to cancel it in the middle of the year.
Yeah, they're going to take, well, they're going to vote another 30 times in the next year to figure out how to totally defund it while they sort of like
have partially done
no, exactly. it in this plan.
And people are going to be angry because Obamacare is not going to be working and the exchange rates are going to be so high because healthy people are going to be on junk plans that they're going to be angry. But like, it's a good way to undermine it so that people want it canceled themselves.
Yeah.
So that popular support for canceling the, you know, for undermining the Affordable Care Act comes about naturally.
Yeah.
39 Democrats voted with them, like a bunch of douchebags.
I know, 29 who are supposedly in primary. Very close races.
Yeah, are not, or, they're not in primary. They're in close races.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like this cannot be the reason that those people that are running in those close races, I feel like, should use this as a good time to explain what Obamacare is.
Well, obviously.
It's not... I don't think that this is a smart, ultimate move for them, because now this is on their record. Now they're people that essentially voted to, like, defund Obamacare, ultimately, or to destroy Obamacare, ultimately.
Yeah.
And it just sort of, like, doesn't... If I were Pelosi, I would not have let this happen. I understand that there's things beyond her control, but...
I was going to say, she didn't... I think she was out there and saying that they shouldn't vote for
this. Well, and she was also, this isn't going to pass the Senate. The White House isn't going to sign it. So, like, why do this?
Yeah, exactly.
Just, like, don't.
Yeah.
It was a symbolic vote.
Yeah.
It was... one thing that was really striking to me about the article that we were reading about this, however, was how dramatic they said... This was a Reuters article, and they called this the biggest crisis of Obama's presidency. Like, the shutdown wasn't a bigger crisis than this? Because I would contend... that there have been, like, of all of the crises that he's faces, this is the most fake of any of them. Because this is a fake issue.
I agree. I think...
like, a non-functioning website 3 months before the launch of a new program is annoying. Yes.
Yes.
It's not the biggest crisis of his presidency.
No. I think the reason that everybody is sort of... not that I want to give credence to that, because I agree with you that it's, like, I think ultimately going to be a non-issue. And sort of, like, once this whole Obamacare situation is working by potentially the end of the month, like they say, I think... by the time sort of March rolls around, when everybody has to be on it, we'll have forgotten that October was such a giant clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what everybody is sort of reacting to is sort of, like, what they sort of see as, like, deceit on his part for telling people that they were going to get to keep something in.
This is such manufactured deceit.
I totally agree.
Because this is, like, such a... like I've said every week so far on the podcast... nobody likes their health insurance.
Right.
So, like, the promise that you could keep your plan was just something he was paying lip service to this talking point that the Republicans had created years ago in an effort to not pass health care reform.
Well, and
he had to say it just so that dumb people wouldn't be like, well, what do you mean I'm not going to have health insurance? Because obviously that wasn't what was going to happen. But he was sort of trying to preempt that point from
coming up. Well, and I think you brought up an important point earlier when you said that I think that he... did know that there was some sort of untruthiness to that. But on the other hand, I think, like you said, they didn't think that the website was going to malfunction. Because I think their thought was, yes, this is probably going to happen, but what will happen is they'll get these notices, they'll get a better/cheaper plan and find out that they're available, you know, can get
no
subsidies.
No one will remember we said this, and everyone
will have forgotten about it. Yeah. But they just, these people who got these notices can't sign up.
No, exactly.
And that's the problem.
It doesn't help that 36 states haven't instituted exchanges.
Well, obviously.
Like, that's banana pants.
You know what else doesn't help?
Fucking...
Bill Clinton.
The mafia.
Ugh. Get it. Just stop.
Sit on your hands, close your mouth, smile.
Those are three things that he can't do.
He's never done those
things.
He
can smile.
He can smile.
He's got a lovely smile.
Charming guy.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton...
Keep his mouth shut, though.
Keep your mouth shut.
Or if you're going to open it...
Explain why the Affordable Care Act is a great idea, because it's the same plan you were trying to create when you were going to do healthcare reform.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same fucking thing. You're a Republican. This is a Republican plan. Everyone who's involved is a Republican. You guys came up with the idea.
Yeah.
You were trying to explain this idea to the American people 20 years ago.
Yeah, the Heritage Foundation came up with this plan.
Exactly.
I was going to suggest at one point that we start calling this, like, Heritage Foundation care.
Yeah.
Because...
Heritage care.
Yeah. Republicans invented this.
Exactly.
While you were in office, to pass healthcare.
Exactly. Yeah. That was what derailed your own healthcare ambitions.
Yes.
Which were just as compromised. But this is essentially what you were offering us.
Yes.
So, like, get on board. Bill Clinton's, though, out there, talking to fake online magazines, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, what is it?
Like,
Aussie
Magazine? That's not a thing. Saying, I personally believe, even if it takes a change to the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they've got. Just don't say it. Just say nothing. Just don't offer an opinion. Be like, I'm sorry those people are being kicked off their plans. Mm-hmm. Why don't they check the exchanges and see if they can find a cheaper rate there?
Yeah, I don't know why he can't make, like, George Bush and just go draw paintings or something like that. I'm just...
Like, why is he still trying to run the entire country?
I don't know.
He's trying to force his wife on us. He's trying to, like... He's, like, in bed with all of the banks and big business.
Yeah.
He's just, like, up to shenanigans.
Yeah.
There's shenanigans going on.
Yeah.
The numbers were not good, by the way.
Not good.
It might not surprise you to find, since the website wasn't working.
Right.
Nationally, only 100,000 people have signed up for Obamacare.
Yes.
Only 26,000 of those people, or 27,000 of those people, were able to go through healthcare.gov because it's a mess and you can't get on it.
They wanted to have 500,000 people, I think, right?
Yeah. Yes. They wanted to have 500,000 people.
In October.
This is people, by the way, who've signed up for privately managed plans on the exchanges. This doesn't include the number of people who've signed up for Medicaid expansion and those numbers. That's going swimmingly.
Everybody who...
Anyone who's anybody is signing up for Medicaid expansion.
Right. Yeah.
I think they have something like... 400,000 people or something that have at least gone through the initial steps of signing up for that plan or for that and children's health insurance or have been ruled eligible. And then a lot of people have checked their eligibility for the government subsidies, which indicates that they're interested in signing up for plans and just haven't gotten around to it. You know, the same thing happened in Massachusetts, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but people don't sign up for these things early because it's like how you wouldn't want to pay for your car insurance 3 months early.
Right.
You're not trying to pay for health insurance because you've got to make the first payment when you sign up for these plans. You're not trying to just like be out there with your credit card signing up for health insurance that won't kick in till January.
No.
Like 3 months in advance.
Right. And you also sort of like, I mean, I think back to when I was sort of like, you know, 22. I mean... You procrastinate. I still procrastinate. And you're
going to this about the freaking Victims Compensation Fund. That didn't involve any sort of payment or it was all information that you would know off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Still no one was signing up because it just sounded boring to sign up. Brent and I looked at these numbers and thought to ourselves, it seems like people are just into Medicaid for all, right?
I know. Like, that was my first reaction. I was like, basically...
If everyone's into signing up for Medicaid,
just
do that.
Even the states who, like, took the Medicaid expansion, like, in their sort of, like, in their state programs, like, you're seeing that those people, like, those
plans people are on
like,
it.
Like, in the state of Washington, I think that they, like, you know, the majority
of the people
and
up
I think a lot of people in Oregon have, too, like, on that exchange, and also in California, too.
Well, they always expected that something like 50% of the people who were without insurance already were going... to be qualifying for Medicaid expansion or the Children's Health Insurance Program.
Right.
They already knew that was going to be a big part of the numbers. But, like, those people have so outpaced the people that have just had to sign up for private insurance on the exchanges that it's just, like, it seems like that people want that.
I know.
People who are
they
qualifying
do.
Want it.
Yeah.
So, like, what doesn't everyone? I mean, I want it.
I want it, too.
So, like, I would sign up tomorrow if that was a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, let's just do that. You know who's winning at the exchanges, though?
We are. California.
We are. And me and Brent love winning. So this is great news for us.
Perfect. I know. Yeah.
Covered California, which we said, you know, we went on it as soon as it opened
up. Yeah, we were on the day it was on. And we were finding savings for all of our friends who don't have health insurance right now. I mean,
we were up to a lot of researching on that site, feeling good about how easy it was.
Yeah.
That site has signed up more people than the federal exchange site, than healthcare.gov has in total.
Yes.
Because 31,000 people... have signed up under Covered California compared to the 27,000 that signed up with the federal government.
Yeah.
That's basically a third of the number of people who signed up.
And 370,000 people have begun applications.
Yeah, so it's looking like a lot of people, like maybe a goal number of people are signing up under the California program. And there's reasons why. It's because we tried.
We did.
Our site is really easy to navigate. We had a state government that was not fractured by different competing interests or whatever. So they just hired the best people to do the job.
Yep.
Those consultants that they hired built a functional website.
Right.
That website is easy to navigate.
It allowed people to shop prior to being, to when they were actually sort of like eligible to sign up. So you could get on sort of like in advance because the insurance companies had sort of like already released the details of some of the
plans. Exactly. Well,
so,
and
like,
it also, because it allows you to do that, you're able to research without feeling like you're going to somehow also need to like get your credit card out and like sign up right away.
Right, exactly.
The problem with the federal site, aside from the fact that no one can get on it, is that by the time you've done the research, you're already almost like obligated to pay your first month's premium.
Yeah.
And under the California site, you can just sort of research premiums to your heart's content and not even be anywhere near having to pay for anything so that you can really feel like you've got the time to sit down with the information.
Yeah. But 72,000 people sort of like of those initial people who went on there like are eligible for Medi-Cal.
Yeah.
So again, it's sort of like...
Medi-Cal is our Medicare,
Exactly.
our Medicaid program in California. We, for some reason, had to name it our own thing. Well,
whatever.
We're just important like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been, like, a success over here. Yeah. And it's created a lot of hope for what the federal program could be, because this is a state where, like, it's a really big state.
Right.
Where the federal, the national, not national or federal, the state government here tried to create a program that worked.
Right.
And it succeeded at creating a program that worked. So yeah. It was really that simple the whole time.
That's it.
So the federal government, the people that are looking at California and the federal government are sort of like able to see that if you just try to make it works.
Yeah.
That's a thing. The insurance companies here are also thrilled with how it's going.
Obviously.
Because it's just like a banner year for them.
People are buying insurance. Yeah. That's what we've always said about
that. They love this plan. I mean,
Yeah. Well, insurance companies love Obamacare.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing that not enough people probably are aware of.
Yeah.
But,
no,
I mean...
If you're concerned that big business is being hurt by this, rest assured it's not the insurance business.
Right.
Papa John's seems to feel strongly about it, but...
I know.
Papa John's doesn't employ people as much.
No.
The insurance industry provides better jobs.
Right. I mean, the federal government is trying to get 7 million people by, like, March 31st. Like, that's their goal.
Right.
Whether they get there or not. Those are 7 million people... who are buying health insurance.
Right, from a private health
insurance company.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
California had one of the largest uninsured populations because it's one of the biggest states. So it's a sign that you can make this work on a massive scale. Also, though, the insurance companies in California, like we said before, are not happy about this thing where they're going to reinstate these old policies for another year.
They don't want those old policies.
They don't want those old policies. Those old policies are destroying their math on the new policies.
Right.
It's just sort of like a mess for everyone. Another interesting comparison, though, is to the original Obamacare, Romney Care.
Mm-hmm.
Which only saw 123 people sign up when it first went online. In second month, it only had 2,200 people.
Yeah.
It was in the 11th month that 36,000 people signed up.
Right.
So we're looking at a last-minute rush.
Yeah, and that 11th month was the month that you had to before the penalty came
in.
Exactly. And you and I have always said that, like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, all the 22-year-olds are going to be frantically at, like, 11:59 on March 31st.
Yeah.
Making sure
like,
that they don't
have
to pay a penalty, and hopefully the website will be working by then so they can do it quickly.
Well,
but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I think that that's... It's a problem that the website's not working right now, but it's... a bigger problem if it's not working then. If it can be fixed before then, if they got enough 22-year-olds on board to fix that thing before the deadline, it's the last month that really is going to count.
Yeah, they need that website to be able to handle an overload.
Yeah.
All at one time within like an hour.
Like people on their iPhones.
Right, exactly.
Like trying to chime in.
Yeah.
But I mean, as long as it can do that, there's obvious, with regardless of how sort of poor the numbers look in terms of signups, there's obviously interest in these programs.
Yeah.
And if people knew what the programs entailed and could actually comparison shop the way that they're supposed to on the exchanges, I think that we would find that there was a massive interest in signing up.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's the same way that when you make a big purchase that's going to affect your life for the next year, you don't just look at cars online and then immediately put your credit card info in and just buy whatever car is the first car that you saw.
No.
You know, and you're not going to do that for health insurance either.
No.
Big purchases require some deliberation.
And you can't do that over the phone either.
No,
like,
exactly.
That's the thing. Because, like, their thing sort of, like, after the website went down, was like, well, you can do it over the phone. It's like, you can't shop over the phone.
You can't comparison shop over the phone. It's too hard.
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to see some improved numbers. I think they could easily meet their goal. Certainly,
like,
there's 7 million people who want health insurance out there looking for insurance.
Yes.
And
one of those people who's looking
people
for insurance
shopping.
Right now is Michelle Bachman.
Yes. Who...
I don't quite get this,
made
but...
some comments that are complicated from my perspective.
Yes.
Question. Is she refusing her congressional health care?
Maybe.
Right, she must be. Because
I don't know.
How is she not having health care? How does she lose her insurance in the first place?
She can't lose insurance.
No, she's a federal employee. She's a congressperson.
Yeah.
Like, she could just be getting insurance for... That's part of her job package. That's...
Yes,
anyway,
it is.
So that was already questioning. She said that... She said on television that she was going to be losing her insurance, and then when asked if she was going to go to the exchanges to check out the options, said, "Are you kidding? I'm not going to waste an hour on that thing." Which might have been the only common sense thing that she said for that whole time.
Can't hate her for that.
But what she also said was, at some point, we're going to have to figure it out. I have a husband with very significant health issues. We have to have health insurance, so we will get it figured out.
But here's the thing.
She doesn't seem to think other people should have to have health insurance.
No, but and not only that, she doesn't want to figure it out.
No, of
course.
That's
the thing. So anyone who is sort of, like, complaining about, like, people getting kicked off their health insurance plans right now is being disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because they have been trying 42 or 3 or 100 times over already to get everybody kicked off the damn
exactly.
thing. So they can go screw themselves, her specifically, yes. in this case. All of them generally, though, can, if they like.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like, at some point we're going to have to figure it out, then help figure it out, you yeah. dumbass.
And if you have a personal, if you're personally invested in having to figure it out, then, like, you could be one of the first people to check out the exchange and tell everyone how to navigate it.
Yes.
Help your constituents figure it out.
Right. The way to figure it out is to not throw it out the window.
Exactly. Especially if you, like many Americans, have a husband with significant health issues.
Correct.
Like, what are his significant health issues?
I don't know.
Like, unchecked gayness, possibly. mm-hmm. and yep. Among other questionable health issues, yep. like meanness. like, general lack of empathy.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to be treated by Obamacare.
He probably has, like, some old dance injuries or something like that, maybe. Yeah.
Like, some jazz hand injuries.
Yeah, that's like, what it is.
Jazz uh-huh. wrist or something.
yeah. Yep.
She was on the Situation Room making this claim, and one of the other panelists was like, well, then it's lucky that Obamacare came into effect.
I know.
And she was like, actually, we were just fine before. Mm-hmm. Possibly because she's always qualified for a federally paid-for healthcare plan
right.
that is free to her and very yeah. comprehensive.
Yep.
That might be why she was fine before.
Yep.
I would be fine if I were her.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I'm still confused about that I think that's part of the Affordable Care Act and has not really gotten that much play, is the way that it changes the way that D.C. staffers, specifically
yeah.
congressional staffers, shop for insurance, because some of them have been kicked into the D.C. exchange.
Yeah.
Which I would be fucking furious if I had to work for the crap wages that they pay in Washington and then didn't even get insurance out of the deal.
Yeah, how are staffers not getting health insurance?
They make such crap money over there. That's why it's such a young person's game. You go to the Hill, everyone that you meet with is like 23, and you're like, how could you possibly be an expert in any of the areas that you claim to be? They're not.
They're not.
It's just because no one else was going to work for $30,000 a year for the rest of their lives.
Right. You can't.
So you do that for 5 years, and then you go and become a consultant or a lobbyist, and you get paid a lot of money.
Right.
But you have to, because you're still in debt from school, because the $30,000 a year didn't pay for your school loans,
not
because
in DC,
you were making crap money.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes.
Give these people health
Give
insurance.
Give these people health insurance. They're in the city with, like, the most expensive private university in America. Yeah. GW is the most expensive school in America.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that.
Isn't that kind of annoying?
Yeah,
like,
sort
shouldn't,
of.
Like, Harvard or something be the
yeah.
most expensive school in America?
Yeah.
Like, GW is a good school.
I'm sure
but, like,
it is.
It doesn't need to be the most expensive school in America.
No,
it's not in the most expensive city in America.
No.
It's not up to much other than just being a giant school that doesn't need to be $52,000 a year or whatever.
Holy
it's so expensive.
That's expensive.
Yeah. In any case, that infuriates me. I still don't fully understand who qualifies, you know, who has to be on the exchange
right.
and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Obviously, Michelle Bachmann isn't
she
explaining.
Doesn't either.
Yeah.
No.
In any case.
Favorite segment time.
Hillary. Well, not only do we have Hillary Pillory, but we have a new guest in the room.
We do. Ray has joined us
Ray
for
Ray has
Hillary
joined
Pillory.
Us for Hillary Pillory.
She's been...
She hates Hillary, too.
Obviously.
Yeah,
that's why she was so angry. She was barking downstairs, so I had to go bring her up.
Yeah.
She's making too much noise.
Exactly.
She knew it was coming.
She knew it was
she
coming.
She wanted to join.
She
so,
hates Hillary as much as the next person.
Yeah.
She might also just be especially angry because Chuck Schumer is involved in this
oh
week's
my God.
Hillary Pillory.
Again, this is the second time he's yeah. appeared in Hillary Pillory.
Well, he's just like becoming sort of the Hillary campaign mouthpiece
yeah.
of 2013.
It's so annoying because
his
now...
His new claim... We should just all fall in line behind Hillary because primaries are killers.
Like, because he was being asked about, like, this last week has been, like, a real sort of, like, pro-Elizabeth Warren as, like,
yes,
running
you may
against
have seen
Hillary Clinton.
We the article that we
Facebook.
Posted a while ago.
A lot of people were sort of, like, spiraling out
yes.
of control about that, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was asked about that because he loves to get in front of a microphone, as Lila has noted
yeah.
on
Schuming.
Numerous occasions.
Schuming.
Yeah. And so he doesn't think there should be a primary at all. Just
no.
skip the primary. Coronate her.
Yeah. Like, what, we should just let Chuck Schumer decide who the next Democratic candidate for president is going to be?
No.
Because he's such a fucking popular guy.
No, we shouldn't do that at all.
He's the head of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, which is already annoying. He said that this strategy has worked really well in senatorial campaigns, which is a very different ballgame.
Obviously.
Because senatorial campaigns happen at a local level. They can't always control whether or not they're being primaried at a local
right.
level. They can do whatever they want to try to prevent people from running as
right.
Democrats in primaries, but they can't stop a far-left candidate from
no.
coming out of nowhere.
No.
On the presidential scene, though, I mean, you have a very different lay of the land. You have a very high-profile primary season that goes on for a long time.
For ages.
And
years.
The primary season is one of the ways that the voters get to know the candidate.
Yes.
So if you neglect to participate in the primary season as a non-incumbent...
Right. I think everyone sort of, like, has felt that about... you know, it didn't necessarily help Mitt Romney. I'll give...
Republican Party has not been
right,
helping
but that's
itself.
Sort of like, just because they're sort of like a brand of crazy that people have having to, you know, been dealing with during primaries. But it obviously helped Obama in 2008.
Without a primary season, there is no Obama. And I think someone like Schumer is angry because it took his coronated, you know, Hillary Clinton out of the running because voters chose someone different than he personally would have.
Right.
But, like, that's why we have primaries. Because Chuck Schumer does not, as the senator from New York, speak for the whole party.
No.
He speaks for some very stupid voters in New York who keep voting for him, even though he's currently not doing much to help.
Right. Now, there's an idea that someone sort of has been peddling this week that we would like to continue to push because it is sort of, you know...
It's one of the great ideas.
It's one of the great ideas.
Let's primary him.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer can be primaried.
Anyone can be primaried.
Lest we forget. Yeah. Anybody can
be. If he's the creator of the Don't Primary Anyone program...
Primary him.
Let's show him what a primary is really about.
Yeah.
Let's show him how great primaries can be, how triumphant a primary can be.
Because Chuck Schumer is the type of person who could be primaried to his left.
Yes. He could absolutely be primaried to his left. He is not going to be... There's not going to be a legitimate challenger on the right.
No.
So... He's a safe primary.
I was going to say, the winner of the Democratic primary is the senator from New York.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and, you know, when Hillary was running, she was primaried from the left. It was by a campaign that was, I think, too far left to really get enough of the money that they needed to, you know, she's in bed with every money and money thing.
A left candidate
that
can do well.
That far left candidate got 15% of the vote.
Well, and a far left
no money.
And a far left candidate just got what 70% of the vote in the New York City mayoral election.
Exactly. It's a very different ballgame right now than it was at that time. That was still Giuliani, you know, Bloomberg territory. That was a very different world. This was a candidate who was only campaigning in New York City because he didn't really have the contacts or the money to campaign outside of New York City. I know because my parents were working on the campaign. Full disclosure.
Right.
It was Jonathan Tessini's campaign, if anyone wants to look that up. But, I mean, he got a very significant percentage of the vote for somebody who was so far at a disadvantage in terms of campaigning. If someone like that can go up against someone like Hillary. In New York State, then Chuck Schumer, open season.
Watch out. Yeah,
watch out.
Open season. Exactly.
I mean,
when's he up again?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like he's never up.
I was going to say,
those campaigns come and go so quickly.
Like, once you're a senator for life, it's sort of like you're not even running campaigns.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that at
which
one
I think
point,
would make him sort of like a prime.
It would be a great way to get rid of that.
He hasn't had to run against anybody.
Exactly.
I mean, I would love to see Chuck Schumer have to debate someone to his left.
It doesn't, because he's never had to run, voters really haven't heard from him recently. He's not had to be responsive to them, certainly.
Right.
He's just like this powerful Democrat.
And he's sort of an annoying person anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like if he had to run in a campaign, people would probably realize that he was
really
kind of
a douchebag. Gross.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what happened to Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
And Anthony Weiner, he gets called Chuck Light a lot in Democratic circles in New York. He was sort of considered the successor at one point to the Chuck Schumer mantle. He took Chuck Schumer's seat, I think.
Oh, I see.
But or he took a seat in a similar district.
Right.
I can't remember if he took the exact seat. But I feel like he's vulnerable in a way that would be symbolically important.
Yes.
I've always felt that way.
Yeah.
And I feel that way specifically because he's suggesting that we don't deserve to have a choice in who our presidential candidate is.
Yes, fuck off.
Does he get to speak for voters from Iowa?
No.
Like, no. He's not elected by voters from Iowa.
No.
He doesn't even get to speak by voters from New York.
No.
Because voters from New York don't fucking want Hillary Clinton to be the president, according to me. If they're voting for de Blasio, they're not trying to have Hillary Clinton be president.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to have Chuck Schumer decide for them who gets to be president.
Well, and apparently... Maybe the rest of the country isn't so into having Hillary Clinton as a president either, because our next sort of portion of Hillary Pillory here is a poll, which is a dumb poll because it's for 2016, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, of course, the two contenders that everybody seems to be real into right now are Hillary Clinton and Chris Christie, obviously. Chris Christie is beating her 43% to 42% in the latest national poll.
16 points among independents.
Right.
And she's only leading 48% to 39% with
among
women.
Among women?
With Chris Christie.
Chris Christie. Who is a
sweetheart,
misogynist pig.
Misogynistic Chris Christie. Like, what?
That's not great.
She should be leading 100%
with
women.
With women. Right.
Women should not be voting for Chris Christie.
No.
If you're a woman from New Jersey and you're kind of stupid, like, I'll grant to you that he's not as offensive to you as he would be to someone else.
Sure.
Because you're just like, oh, well, all men are like this.
Yeah.
But Don't nationally? That's
right.
Bananas.
That's bananas.
That's
so
too much.
That is.
But that's. I mean, that's her problem. Is in a race with a moderate, in a race with someone like Mitt Romney, she loses. In a race with a moderate like Chris Christie,
right.
She loses. In a race with anyone who's not Michelle Bachmann, she loses.
Well, I just think that I think so many people sort of like forget that like her support, no matter what, caps somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's a great way of putting it because that's I think what we even forgot during the 2008 primary season.
Yes.
Was Hillary Clinton has a certain amount of, like, this base within the Democratic Party that just, like, is, like, undyingly loyal to her. And I get that that's a great way to start a campaign
off. And then sort
off.
Of generic but, gays and women.
And
sort
generic
of.
Gays and women. But that's who's in the base. They're talking about her left, you know, they're talking about her full-time. That's, like, a full-time job to talk about how great Hillary Clinton is. But there's people, like me and Brent, who are gays and women, who under no condition want to see her be the candidate. And we are also an important part of the Democratic base. And if she can't even get voters like us to vote for her, and we're like on the far left of the base, but we vote the middle in those elections. We vote for the president. You know, we vote for the candidate in the presidential election.
Yeah.
Then her support has to cap somewhere because the Republicans hate her more than they hate anyone else they've ever met in their entire lives.
Exactly.
And half of the Democratic base can't stand her.
Yeah.
And this is a conversation that I'm having with every person at work in the entire, like every person who mentions Hillary Clinton to me at work gets an earful from me, including people who I'm pretty sure are not trying to have political conversations with me at all.
Yeah, sure.
Because sometimes you just gotta.
But it's a hot topic of conversation. So when people learn that you're political, it's sort of like that's what.
That's what they ask.
I was on a date the other night with someone named Brent.
Oh my God.
By the way.
I'm against it.
Confusing. But anyway, you know, I told him that I had a political podcast and he was like, what do you think of Hillary?
Yeah.
And I was like, you might not want to hear it.
Right.
And he was like. Why? And I was like, do you like her? And he was like, yes. And I was like, then you don't want to hear it.
I was having a conversation with someone at work the other day who has said to me before that she doesn't really like to talk about politics because she doesn't like to hate people afterwards. And I just sort of like couldn't stop myself from saying that I didn't want Hillary to run.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. Once you're one of the people who doesn't like Hillary, you're like really one of those people. You're not looking for a way to help her campaign. It's a club. And it means that there will be a certain amount of just like general disinterest in the early part of her campaign. And if she doesn't even have a primary season to get people excited about her, then, like, because at least the primary season makes you resign to vote for whoever you're going to vote for. You know, Brent and I supported Edwards for a long time in that campaign, and obviously he turned out to be a douchebag.
Terrible. Right,
but we don't apologize for supporting him because he pushed the campaign to the left.
He was the best candidate.
He was the best candidate at the time.
Yeah.
But someone, people...
Had the best message.
He had the best message, right? He wasn't the best person.
No.
But, like, we weren't electing him to be America's best person. We were electing him based on his message. That was what we were supporting him for.
Yeah.
And if people like me and Brent are supporting someone like Edwards in a primary, we will often move to the next left candidate when he drops out of the race.
Yeah, Obama.
Obama.
Or so we thought.
Or so we thought. I mean, that's what he was promising, at least.
Right.
But, I mean, Hillary was not...
She wasn't trying to
promise
that.
The most left candidate. She wasn't even trying to promise that.
She wasn't pitching that.
But if you don't have a primary season to get people like me and Brent on board with your moderate candidate, then you don't have the support of someone like me and Brent. Me and Brent go to some third-party candidate who's actually exciting to us.
Right.
And we leave you in a lurch because we're in California. It doesn't matter who we vote for. You're not going to campaign here. And we're not going to help you call voters in Nevada if we're not excited about you.
Right. Which is what we
did.
Yeah, exactly.
So... You know, you do what you have to do in these situations. You just buck up and get into a primary, Chuck Schumer.
Yep.
You don't fucking try to decide for us.
Nope.
Nothing makes me mad. Just makes me angry.
I know.
But in exciting election news.
Yes.
Seattle elected a socialist city council member.
The first time ever. Like,
they
in modern history, they
technically are
say.
Nonpartisan on their city council, but this candidate made sure that everyone knew that she was a socialist.
Exactly. They don't run under sort of like the party mantle, but her whole thing was like,
I'm
a socialist.
Yeah. She was running just to be a socialist.
Yeah.
So her name is Shama Sawant, right?
Sure.
I can't pronounce her name because it has a silent K at the beginning of it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's hard to know.
Yep.
But it was a 16-year incumbent that she beat.
Yeah, and who sort of had the establishment backing.
Yeah.
Sort of another establishment candidate that's leaving.
That's not working for people currently.
Nope.
You don't want the establishment's backing.
Nope.
You want everyone else's backing aside from the establishment. They're the worst backing to get.
Yeah, you don't want those.
They come with money and strings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the strings are what get you.
Right. Yeah, the money you want,
the money
the strings
you want,
you don't.
The strings you don't want.
Yep.
She's an econ professor. And was a sort of fixture at the Occupy Wall Street protests there, which were a big deal in Seattle. Seattle loves a good protest.
Yeah.
They're like up to protest.
Yeah, they shut down some parks and some junior college and whatever else. Or they took
major, I think, WTO protests.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They're up to
They've
protesting
had a lot of,
in Seattle.
Yeah, shenanigans going on up there.
They love a good protest.
Mm-hmm,
I love a good protest, too. I'm very into Seattle for that specific reason.
Totally.
There's a lot of white people with dreadlocks currently in Seattle, which I'm not into.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Well, they voted for her, though, so right. we'll let it slide.
But we're just sort of moving on with that.
Right. But she ran on an effort to raise the minimum wage to $15. She called for rent control in the city because rent prices keep going up.
Everywhere, climbing.
She supports a tax on millionaires to help fund public transit system and other services.
Well, and Seattle needs some improved public transit. I'm just going to say that.
I've been recently.
And they have a public transit system that is sort of like... But it's like LA where it's a little bit scattered. It's hard to get from neighborhood to neighborhood in Seattle. Okay. And so it's sort of a driving city that... And there's a lot of hills. So you're not like really trying to walk up and down hills.
Okay.
You can get around by bus if you want to. But because it's laid out in such a confounding way, like most people choose not to.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if more people chose to.
Got it.
I feel like.
Yeah, I would think so.
Always.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's exciting news. Also exciting, Allison Lundgren Grimes is tied with McConnell right now in their race.
Yeah, and that's huge.
It's looking like he's going to beat his Tea Party challenger, which, thank God.
I guess.
If they're good, well, if Although he's maybe, tied maybe, with Lundgren Grimes...
Maybe it's better that he would win.
That's true.
I don't know.
But, I mean, it would be a more exciting race. Yeah. But if he's tied with Lundgren Grimes, then the voters in Kentucky are not so far right that they're...
No, obviously.
You know, it says that the voters there
are kind
of in the middle.
Well, they have
a Democrat governor
right now. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, so you sort of oftentimes want to sort of write them off as sort of like the right-wing crazy.
It's
but that's not necessarily the case.
In the union when you drive from east to west that has three crosses on like every hill in every farm... And me and my friend, when we were driving out to California, when I, like, moved out here, we're like, what are the three crosses? We'd never seen that before. And we were like, what does the three crosses mean? That's so weird. And everyone there looked at us like, well, you're crazy. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we were like, is that's a thing? Apparently it's a huge thing that we hadn't known about.
Well,
they're also up to pronouncing a lot of French words incorrectly.
Well, that's not shocking.
Versailles.
Oh, they're doing that in Louisiana, too, though. Yeah. Although they're getting it closer there. Because
Louisiana's
like,
closer
because
they're speaking
situation.
Some Cajun
right,
over there. But... Uh-huh. Versailles is not how you say Versailles.
Correct.
Kentucky.
No.
In case you're
not.
Curious about that. No. There's a lot of confusion about hilarious French names in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But in any case, it turns out it's not as horrible as we would have initially thought. Because they're up to some good voting habits at the moment.
Right. And the fact that that's tied is good for Lundgren Grimes, but there's also sort of like some other bad news for McConnell in there, because 52% of the people in this poll said that they viewed him unfavorably and only 42% viewed him favorably.
So his approval rating's upside
underwater.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it seems like the momentum is not heading in his direction in that race either, because he was slightly ahead, I think. I think a while ago we reported that she was just slightly behind, and we were excited about that, because we write Kentucky off as not being able to elect Democrats.
Well, and I think she's sort of like is an exciting candidate, just sort of like on the face. Like, I don't really necessarily know much about her politics, but I mean, like, she's very energetic. She's sort of fiery.
Yes.
She seems like she's quick-witted. She's pretty.
Yeah.
She also, I saw a picture this week where she was at a firing range, and she had like she'd asked Mitch McConnell to come shooting with her, like, which would just sort of like be a hilarious sight to see. I feel like almost like
he should not be let near a firearm.
I don't necessarily appreciate her being at the firing range or wanting to shoot anything with Mitch McConnell,
but she's trying to get elected in Kentucky, so you
exactly.
do what you have
so,
to
so like she seems like she kind of like
it's
has
like how
like
Schweitzer, the, Brian Schweitzer wears bolo ties sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. He's from Montana.
He's Montana. He can't stop himself.
Right. Yeah.
But in any case, that's good news. There's a recount coming in the attorney general race in Virginia,
more
but it looks
likely,
like the Democrat is in the lead
right,
there.
They've counted all the provisional ballots, and he is, Mark Herring is in the lead for attorney general. And the reason why this was the closest race of all of the races that were going on for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. And it would be huge if he won, because it would be the first time since 1969 that Democrats had held all statewide offices, which are the two senators, governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney
that would
general.
Be
so that would be
awesome
huge.
Town.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
That would be, and it would be great. I mean, it would be a good sign for the next presidential year, too.
And that was the one on election night that really looked like was probably going to be the one that he was going to lose.
Yeah.
Or that the Democrat was going to lose, because it was close all the way to the end, and he was sort of, like, down all the way to the end, and really sort of, like, came sort of, well, I mean, they're still counting. So it's obviously come
it's
down to
close.
The end. But
yeah,
so that would be awesome.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
Virginia, Kentucky, going blue, potentially.
Hey.
All sorts of blueness.
Love it.
We're waiting on Arizona. We're waiting on Texas.
We're waiting on Texas.
Texas is the one.
It's all we need.
It's all we need. If we have Texas, we have everyone.
That's it.
We don't care about anyone.
Done. Screw Virginia.
Virginia can go screw themselves. Virginia will want to be on board because they won't want to look stupid when Texas, California, and New York are all on board.
I know.
They won't want to be involved.
Yeah.
In terms of things that are horrible, however, there
we
are
have
those
some
things.
Of those, too.
Yeah. One is this sort of obscure case that's coming in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That, so basically, unions in private sector industries will often sign have these neutrality agreements with their employers, where they will sign something that will sort of it'll affect their behavior during union recruitment periods and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like the employer will agree not to intervene and try to like propagandize the employees about how terrible the union is.
Right.
The union will agree not to strike.
To strike.
They will all sort of agree to behave while the union is trying to recruit new workers.
Yep.
This is something that it's very hard to get employers to sign. The industries that are still unionized in the private sector are few and far between, but they include things like hospital workers, hotel workers,
right.
Auto workers as well. The UAW sure. is sort of like the most, I think, powerful of those unions. But the Supreme Court is about to hear a case that would determine whether or not those neutrality agreements are legal. Because there's this sort of like obscure Taft-Hartley
right.
provision that prohibits employers from giving unions, quote, anything of value.
Right, which is like what?
Which is meant to stop them from bribing unions
right.
with like money or jobs or other, you know, things like that. Free jumbo jet rides or whatever, you
sure.
know, whatever would get them to kind of like, it stops them from bribing them during negotiations
right.
and at other times of the year that would affect negotiations.
Yeah.
This is sort of, for some reason, someone is arguing that this this act of signing these neutrality agreements is like
in
somehow a bribe.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because this is how yeah. unions and private sectors recruit.
Yeah.
Is they
of
get
course.
The employer to stop fucking just, getting on their
yes,
case.
Yes, exactly.
And then they go in and tell everyone what the union does, and then
right.
everyone agrees to join the union, and then they negotiate in what we hope is good faith. But in the meantime, they tell the employer, while we're doing this, we're not going to strike, we're not going to be,
yeah.
you know, dickwads, we're just going to be nice people who are trying to negotiate fair wages.
Right.
It's a good way to keep union shit from getting far out of control,
yeah.
but it's also, it's an important recruitment tool for unions. And
yeah.
and there are sectors that really rely on unions to maintain
of course.
The safety and the sort of like
of
quality of life of their workers.
Yeah.
Hotel workers, I think, are a great example.
Yeah.
Because that's an industry that's not fully unionized.
Right.
But like hotel workers don't get paid a shit ton of
right.
money.
And they have striked.
They
recently.
Have striked recently.
Yeah.
That's an area that is ripe for exploitation
yeah.
because it's a very sort of decentralized area. And, you know, we're talking about the lowest paid workers in the most, against what are huge corporations
right,
for the
exactly.
most part. You know, yeah. we're talking about chain employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're like a cleaning lady at Marriott,
yeah.
you don't have a lot of legs to stand on to renegotiate your salary
right.
Without a union.
Yeah, you need the union.
So this would be a major loss to unions.
Right.
And it's going to be... It's not going to get a lot of press because no one understands it.
Right, exactly. I read it and didn't understand it.
Read it, didn't understand it, and then was like, Lila, I need you to read this so that we can talk about it. But
It's
a bad sign. That's what we know. And,
right. and the Supreme Court sort of has, at least our current Supreme Court has, a history of being sort of, not necessarily super pro-worker. Now,
yeah.
it sounds like from the...
The way the arguments are going, it's not as terrible as we might expect.
Right, because...
Kagan has, in particular, been
right.
sort of
and you would sort
on
of,
the questioning.
You would sort of assume that, but, Roberts sort of also...
He kind of backed her up.
...seemed like he was maybe there
yeah,
with
well,
her,
she
so.
Made a comment that was basically like, if you say that these neutrality agreements violate this provision, then you're interpreting this provision very broadly. And you're basically saying that it's not okay for employers to do, like, small things, like invite union reps to come talk to them on their property
right.
or, like stuff like that without yeah. without being in violation of the law. She was like, that's crazy because that's not a bribe to invite them to talk to you.
No.
But, like, if you are interpreting these neutrality agreements, which are two-sided agreements, to be bribes, then you're interpreting any two-sided discussion
yeah, exactly.
as a bribe.
Yeah.
And Roberts did... Roberts basically, after she made that comment,
seconded that.
And the lawyer was like, yes, we do think that that's a bribe. We do think that that qualifies as bribes. Roberts was like, well, that's in violation of, like, what everyone has agreed to for the last million years.
Right.
So, like, why
when
are
you... have a contract.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not how things are done.
No.
So that's crazy.
Yeah, totally crazy.
So that's something that we're going to keep our eye on.
Yes.
And something worth keeping your eye on just because unions have it hard, friends.
Recently,
in history.
Well, in history. But
all
right.
times.
But,
specifically recently,
Of late.
Of
union
late,
bashing has been sort of like
big,
real. Yeah.
By the way.
Yes.
I think that there's some potential in, because one of my mother's good friends is in the Postal Workers Union
mm-hmm.
and is very excited about this de Blasio situation and very excited
yeah.
about some of the change in leadership that's gone on over there. I want unions to hire out me and Brent as consultants,
yes.
as PR consultants, essentially,
yes.
because we think that we could help them appeal to younger people.
Obviously. That's
like our dream job.
Yeah.
So we're just putting a call out to any unions that are looking for people to do communications work for them.
Yes.
Who are younger people.
We're available.
Who are interested in unions and interested in explaining to young people why unions are so important.
In one. Yes.
That's what we're available for.
amongst other things.
Amongst other things. But that's what I think we would be uniquely suited to.
Ultimately available for, I mean, we're available
we're very
for
available.
Parties and bar mitzvahs if you want. I mean, but.
So true. Just,
you know.
If you want to have a two-person political discussion at your party and bar mitzvah,
yeah.
You should give us a call.
Weddings.
Weddings, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I sing too, actually. Yeah.
If you need someone to play the trombone, sing a song, and then have a political discussion.
I'm there.
Brent's there.
Yeah.
I'll come too. Everyone will come.
Yeah.
We'll bring a microphone. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
Oh, boy. Sarah Palin.
Is alive and speaking.
Not two things that you sort of wish weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, she's on the Pope's case this week.
Oh, my God.
And realized after she said it that maybe that wasn't the best way to go because she had to basically apologize
for
what she
was saying. It's not how you get on God's good side.
It's not how you get on God's good side. It's not how you get on Catholics' good side.
Right.
Which I would assume that generally she probably doesn't care for. But, I mean...
But, I mean, there is this, like, weird Catholic element to the Tea Party movement because people like Santorum are aligning themselves with evangelicals.
It's true.
I don't think it's smart for any Tea Partier to bash Catholics.
Right. But, basically, there was an interview that the Pope had done, and he has sort of, like, made a lot of, you know, sort of, like, a more progressive statements than sort of past popes had. But, specifically, he had, it was in a, I think it was in an interview he had done or whatever, and he said that the Catholic Church has been obsessed with issues such as gay marriage and abortion and sometimes locked itself up in small things.
Right.
And so she didn't take kindly to that because she's obsessed with both of those two things,
right.
Basically.
That's all she thinks about.
Right. She's not a Catholic, so he wasn't talking to her anyway. But anyway, so she said that the Pope has made some statements to me that sound kind of liberal and has taken me aback. So... Well, yeah, you're right. It's like as I was watching Bill Maher the other night, and he was like, if she thinks that the Pope is liberal, just wait till she meets Jesus. I got a good laugh out of that one.
You probably got...
Loved that.
I would have been furious that he was referencing Jesus at all on his
right.
program.
But anyway, so then she had to apologize. She said, it was not my intention to be critical of Pope Francis, which obviously
it was her
because
intention.
That's what you were doing. I mean, it was your only intention. Yeah. Exactly. She said, I was reminding viewers that we need to do our own homework on news subjects, which she's not doing because she can't name a newspaper that she's read.
I know.
Remember? I mean, she's not doing homework. She's never done homework.
And she said, it's like she's saying, because she says after that, I hadn't done mine yet on the Pope's recent comments. It's like she's saying, I was saying something dumb in the media so that you would remember to read the news so that you don't have to say something dumb.
Right, because I hadn't read the news.
I hadn't read the news, and this is what happens when you don't read the news.
It was like she was saying something dumb for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then she went on to say, and this is my favorite part, she said, I apologize for not being clear in my response, thus opening the door to critical media that does what it does best in ginning up controversy. I mean...
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised she didn't say the lamestream
media. The lamestream media,
that's
I know.
Usually her go-to.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I understood what that sentence said when you read it, because when I read it to myself, I was like, well, this is gibberish.
I know. Well, it is.
It's not
gibberish.
Full English.
She always says lamestream media. My aunt on her Facebook page
has
taken to... She puts LMS.
That's a thing that people are doing now?
On the right, apparently. Or she made it up. I don't know, but I don't know if I want to give her credit for that or not.
No,
but. Lamestream media.
Lamestream media. Wait, that would be LSM. I was...
Yeah.
We're so disconnected from that world.
I know.
That we don't
Thank
even know.
God,
Thank God.
Too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In other crappy things...
Happy Veterans Day to the troops who are getting their food stamps cut.
Yeah. We know that the SNAP program has seen better days.
It has.
It's been getting rolled back just sort of constantly on a permanent basis. The sequester's rolling it back.
Yeah.
Congress is trying to roll it back. They
can't get a farm bill passed.
They can't get a farm bill passed. People are trying to just not feed poor people.
Correct.
Among those poor people, though, are
our troops.
Young veterans, specifically.
Yes.
Who are, many of them are on the SNAP, are getting SNAP benefits.
Right.
And something like 5,000 of them are getting affected by the cuts to the SNAP program.
That's not how you treat your veterans.
It's not how you treat, we're not treating our veterans how you treat your veterans, though.
We're,
ever.
No.
We're often, and this is something that I feel like is partially behind how, you know, the Republicans used to have ownership of the issue of war. They were into the troops. If you were not supporting the troops, you were a horrible, you know, non-patriotic, terrible person who probably deserved to be put to death.
Right. Even though their definition of supporting the troops was, you know,
sending them someplace to die.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, that there's been a turnaround that's pretty significant in terms of how troop support is kind of, like, politicized.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are winning that battle.
I think so.
Troops, like, the Republicans are no longer synonymous with troop support. The Democrats are synonymous with troop benefits.
Yes.
And so because of that, the issue of supporting the troops has become a Democratic stronghold instead of a Republican one. And it's because of bullshit like this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because we already were treating our veterans crappily. You know, at a time, there was a time when we didn't do that.
Right.
My grandfather went, got a graduate degree on the GI Bill, got a house on the GI Bill. Like, his whole life was in part started with the GI Bill.
Yeah.
He had this terrible experience in the war that he never wanted to talk about because it was so awful.
Wow.
And then instead of falling into a hole of depression and living on the street, he got to go to school and got to get a home and got to raise a family with benefits that were provided by the federal government.
Right. Now you can't eat.
Now you don't even get fucking food.
Yeah.
So that's some craziness right there. Like, we already have a big problem with depression with veterans.
Yeah.
We have a big problem with
suicides.
We have a big problem with homelessness.
PTSD.
We have major problems in terms, because why wouldn't you? You go to war,
obviously,
you see crappy, terrible shit.
It's not what you want to see.
It's not what you want to see. It's not what you want to remember having done with your 20s or any age.
No.
Like, it's horrible to go to war.
Yeah.
That's why you're supposed to provide these benefits to veterans. And it was infuriating to me years ago when it seemed like this was an issue that the Republicans were always taking credit for, because I was always like,
no.
Democrats want nothing more than to provide troops with benefits.
Right. They also
Democrats
know. They also want them to be here.
But they don't want to send them to war in the first place. They just want to have fewer veterans in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to be sending the veterans to go die so that we have to provide veterans benefits to more people that are maimed and wounded and depressed and unhappy.
Yes.
But that was always infuriating to me in the past. I feel like I've gotten over that now that we're winning that battle. But when I see stuff like this, I'm sort of like, you know, I'm a pacifist. I don't even want us to ever be going to war. But I absolutely don't want us to be abandoning people that we forced to go to war.
Yeah.
So that they can just be depressed and hungry on the streets and their families can starve.
No.
That's bananas. That's some bananas nonsense.
It is.
Especially because a lot of people join the military to escape poverty.
Yes, that's, of course.
It's the military is very segregated that way.
I was going to say, and that's always been sort of like,
a
lot of people on the left, that is sort of like an issue that they have.
That's an issue, and that's an issue that we have with going into unnecessary wars, is that we're sending poor kids to go die in those wars for us.
Yeah.
Because I had a choice. I didn't have to sign up for the military.
Minority.
Children,
too.
Disproportionately minority children.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, even poor white people sign up for the military.
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of the culture of the military. People like me and Brent have a choice about whether to sign up for the military. Well, Brent at his time didn't even have a choice.
Well, I didn't.
Brent couldn't sign up for the military.
No.
But a lot of people don't. That's the only way for them to sort of like get out of the cycle of poverty that they're in.
Yeah.
It's got to be a good way for them to do it, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we can't just be like sending them to do horrible shit and then sending them back into the same poverty that they were in to begin with and telling them good luck.
Yeah.
That's some nonsense.
I agree.
Makes me angry.
Big nonsense.
Everything's making me angry in this part of the podcast.
Well, this is the section of the podcast of
that I
title terrible things
that are terrible.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Things that are awesome.
Oh man. We have
Canada.
I know. We have not been talking about Mayor Rob Ford enough, basically. And we're putting a stop to that this week.
We hadn't been because it's in Canada, so we weren't paying enough attention.
Right. But it's just has become too amazing to just like leave be this week, because we've known for a while that he was like doing crack. Like that was sort of like a thing that he was doing. But like within the last couple weeks, like it has just like gone full on overboard. And in the most amazing sort of way.
Yeah.
So
he has to keep apologizing, by the way, because he keeps having new things come out that he's done.
Right.
That
Here's what happened this week. I'm going to warn on the language here, by the way. So a female staffer basically has accused him of saying that he said that he wanted to eat her pussy.
Yeah.
And so his direct quote, yes. His response to her, direct quote, in a public response to having to deny that he had done that, was that he is happily married and had more than enough to eat at home.
OMG.
Wow.
Oh my God.
That's
He's
brilliant.
Just like gone off.
Oh, he's off the rails.
Off the rails.
It's perfect. It's what you want.
It's everything that you want.
Yeah.
He's telling us that he was only doing crack because he was drinking.
Yes.
That's not what you say.
No, that's not it.
I was too drunk to know that I was doing crack.
He's claiming that he's going to go get help for his alcohol problem.
Yeah.
He's seeking treatment for that.
Yeah.
Which, great. But it seems like that's the tip of the iceberg.
That's
it seems.
The iceberg.
Yes.
He had also, there were a bunch of, his former chief of staff and two other aides had made allegations to the police that they had seen him smoking weed in the streets and popping pain pills and boozing in his office.
And in his
car
while driving.
He was drinking and driving. Drinking while driving.
Not funny. We're laughing.
He's threatening to take legal action against them.
Yes.
Because
in retaliation
to
their lies.
To their
also, the the Ontario Premier, which I'm assuming is
a newspaper sort of, like, of some import.
Right. Yeah. No. It's Kathleen Wynne. I think it's.
It's the governor, right? The prime minister, or whatever.
Right. Of Ontario. To suggest. She said on Thursday that she is thinking about intervening to boot him from office. Yeah. And I think the city council also, I don't have this in here, but like, I think they stripped him of some of his powers.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
This is just. If I were them, would strip him of all of his powers and then let him stay in office and see what happens.
Yeah.
It seems exciting.
Yeah, Bill Maher the other night, he said they stripped him of all of his powers and they were like, I wonder what his powers are other than being able to stay fat while on crack. Which was perfect because,
That's should be looking. The main question that many of us have had about the situation.
It is, yeah. But perhaps the greatest of news to come from this whole situation is that he and his brother, who is a councilman, Doug Ford, are getting their own television show called Ford Nation.
This screams television show.
Hello.
I mean, this is probably all television.
I'm sure it's like a political, like, talking show or something if it's called Ford Nation. But, like, I would prefer it be sort of like...
Or maybe it's not.
I want to... Maybe it's a reality show. Yeah, it could be. I want to follow him to these parties that he's doing crack at.
Yeah. I want to know what he's up to. Yeah. What a fat, kind of, like, gross, middle-aged man in Canada, of all places,
I know.
Is up to that he's smoking crack in his free time and, like, drinking while driving and telling female coworkers that he wants to eat their pussies. Like, I want to know everything.
Oh, God. I do, too. Yeah.
I mean, really. I want to know nothing and everything. I know. I'm disturbed. I want to know nothing, yet I want to know everything.
Yeah. But I just don't understand how he hasn't resigned yet.
I know. Like, this
can we think
crazy.
About, like, think about Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, he didn't even have any sex in his sex scandal.
No sex.
A sexless sex scandal, which is the lamest kind.
Wasn't doing any drugs.
No.
That we know of.
No. I doubt he was. He's too uptight.
He wasn't drinking and driving.
No. He wasn't driving at all. He lived in New York City. Couldn't be driving.
Exactly.
He was just a guy who was hanging around, being a little of a
douchebag. Didn't know how to work Twitter.
Didn't know how to work Twitter correctly.
That's it.
That was his crime. Well, resigned immediately.
I know.
Certainly, there was no... His own staffers never... said that he had in any way mistreated them.
No.
I mean...
No, just Sydney Leathers.
Just Sydney Leathers, who didn't feel mistreated by the situation. She just felt like she wanted press. Yeah. She just wanted some publicity.
Yeah.
To go to parties and things. was a person named Sydney Leathers.
Hello. Yeah. Oh, God. Scientology. Oh, God. This story has a lot of great pieces in it, because Scientology apparently is... Well, there are, like, 10,000 Scientologists that are, like, descending on Clearwater, Florida, which is, like, don't be going there.
No.
But...
That's ground zero for a lot of crazy
They've been working on this building in Clearwater. That's like
cathedral.
It's a cathedral. I saw the picture of this in this article.
Oh, really?
It's massive. It's the tallest building in Clearwater. It's like 340,000 square feet. It's like this expansive.
Oh, it's been under construction for 15 years.
15 years because they've like stopped. They were like people were angry. People were like leaving the church over it because they were using it as like a big fundraiser. And supposedly they raised like $150 million. And they're like people were saying that the cost was like less than $100 million. So basically they were just like, but so they've been having trouble sort of like getting it built.
Yes.
It's been off and on for like, it was down for like 3 years basically. But anyway, it's up now. It's the grand opening and it has a floor where you can get superpowers training.
Yes. That's exciting. I don't currently have any superpowers.
No, it'd be great to get. You're not going to get them here.
I'm not going
to
get them there.
As much as they may think that that's what's happening.
Apparently Scientologists, by the way, are like really secretive about what they believe. Because all of it's bananas.
You would want to be. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is every time that we receive news, and we in particular feel strongly about knowing about Scientology because we live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hollywood is owned by Scientology.
Yeah, we're often getting stopped for stress tests.
The neighborhood is like fully owned by the Church of Scientology. Like every other building in Hollywood is owned by Scientologists.
Yeah.
So it's an important question for us.
Yeah.
I'm often busy looking up which celebrities are Scientologists. That's a favorite activity of mine. Mm-hmm. I like to be in the know when it comes to Scientology.
To.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's more fascinating than Mormonism, even.
Probably, yeah.
It's weirder, for sure. And that takes a lot.
Yeah.
Mormons are wearing magic underwear, and yet somehow Scientology is weirder.
Still weirder, yeah.
But in any case, they apparently believe that we, in addition to the normal five senses that we all agree that we have.
Yes, there's 57 others.
Yeah. Perceptics.
Made up superpowers.
Made up superpowers.
And they include the ability to sense blood circulation.
Have that power. I can sense my own blood circulation.
I know that my is circulating as I am currently living
exactly.
And my heart is beating.
Right.
So I don't feel like I need a class on that.
To
I don't
teach
also
me.
Think it's a superpower.
Right.
But also, what else do we have? Oh, balance.
Yes.
Compass direction.
That's something you can learn without superpowers.
Mm-hmm. temperature. Yeah, if you know where the stars are, or if you...
You can learn, you
know,
to...
I know that the Hollywood Hills are toward the north. Exactly. Also, so that's helpful.
We're using a compass-like direction just right. all the time.
Uh-huh. Gravity.
Temperature. We can feel.
We know.
We're in the world right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, gravity? Like, we know it's happening.
Yeah.
We can feel gravity. Science. We know because we're currently sitting on chairs and not floating in space.
Oh, my God.
As well, my favorite one is...
Oh, this is good. Yeah.
The awareness of importance and unimportance.
Also, it's called thinking, I guess, right? I mean, like, that's... Like,
you need the superpower to be aware of what's important and unimportant?
No.
No, it's not.
It's not at all.
It's called prioritizing.
Yeah, I know. And my favorite part about the story is that, like, when Ron Hubbard sort of, like, invented these superpowers, he had originally wanted to offer this course in 1978, but most of his staff, yeah. who had been through the course, ended up leaving the church immediately upon the completion of the course.
Oh, so, like, Ron.
I guess they're just bringing back the old... You know.
Well, they're just trying to clear the ranks, I guess. Pay us $1 zillion for this course where we'll teach you to use your 57 superpowers, and then we will have your money and you will leave and stop being our problem.
Yeah.
And that's the news.
Yeah.
We have some news that might make you sad, which is that we won't be on next week.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I'm going out of town.
I was rude.
Yeah, I'm rude. I'm going out of town.
Skipping the country. God.
We will be back the following week.
Yeah,
to
after
update
Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving, to update you as to all that's happened.
Yes.
Including what Brent served at his Thanksgiving.
Yes. Correct. I'm hosting Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take some pictures.
You should. You could take some vines.
I'll do that.
You could take some Instagram videos. You can do all sorts of things.
Yeah, you can
There's
do whatever I want.
Yeah, you can do anything.
You won't be here.
I won't be here to stop
you. It's lawless.
It'll just be Brain Trust Live, the Thanksgiving spectacular.
Yeah, at the Thornburg House.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
So look out for that.
Yep.
We will keep you updated via the interwebs as to any important news stories.
Right. And have a good Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, have a good Thanksgiving. Tweet us and let us know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially if your family gets into huge political arguments at Thanksgiving meals.
It's a good time. Get drunk and start shouting at each other.
Drunk and shouting at Thanksgiving is one of the best times to talk about politics.
Yeah. I'm going to have an economist at my...
Yes. Uh-huh. An economist. Can
yes.
talk about
one of my friend's parents money. Is coming. He's an economist.
Or whatever.
So maybe I'll tweet some economy news. Maybe I'll have him explain the economy to me.
Maybe you won't, though.
Probably not.
Probably won't.
Sounds like a boring Thanksgiving
Sounds really boring.
Discussion.
Yeah. But in any case, be safe, be happy.
We'll talk to you soon.
Don't drink and drive.
Right, or pop pills and drive, or smoke
pop
weed
pills
on
drive.
The street.
Don't
or
smoke
any
crack
things.
At all.
No.
Just try not to. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.